Today's January 23rd, 2025. Current Bitcoin price is $103,380.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
How are you today, Rick?
Oh, doing well.
Doing well. It's been quite a roller coaster the past couple of days with price action.
Yeah, I mean, it's been just some interesting times. I mean, Trump took office the second time now, and things are happening.
Yeah. Inauguration Day, we hit a new all-time high, which was on Monday, right? We got up to 109,000. And then we immediately came back down as the day went on, and there was no, people were upset. There was no mention of Bitcoin within his, address, within his speech.
Yeah. Cause had almost like $10,000 of gains, and then it was just evaporated as soon as he was inaugurated, pretty much. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. All wiped out pretty much that same day. And then we saw another little bounce and it kind of rose back up. What was interesting too that day was that he bought, well, so there's a few things that happened that day that were kind of interesting. The Friday prior, I guess he had launched Trump Coin on Solana.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that?
Yes.
I personally don't care for that, but he made a buttload of money off that, I suppose.
Well, I don't know. Has he finished the rug pull on that yet?
I don't know if it's quite finished yet. Like, I know Coinbase just listed it as of yesterday, but it was something like at the time, and I haven't looked recently because I really don't care about it, but at the time it had gone up to like $35 from like nothing. And I think it had even been higher than that. And then it had like a 50% correction. So, yeah, that was kind of interesting. And he bought, I think, $47 million worth of wrapped Bitcoin, which was good. Although, I mean, a lot of people are complaining that it wasn't Bitcoin. It was wrapped Bitcoin. So, but it's still a Bitcoin tied asset, right?
Yeah.
So that shows that he's thinking something's going to happen there, and that he did it as kind of a symbol because he's the 47th president, 47 million worth of wrapped Bitcoin. So, I mean, I thought that was fairly positive, even though he didn't make any announcements specifically at the time about Bitcoin. So, I mean, it's kind of been a roller coaster ride the past couple of days. And let's what are we looking at with our theoreticals right now?
Well, theoretical purchase back in October 2023, if you would have put down $3,000, you know, back then the price was, you know, not quite, I think it was around $30,000.
Yeah.
But you would have netted yourself 0.0885 Bitcoin or 8.85 million Satoshis. And that $3,000 investment now is worth $9,149.
Ooh.
So more than tripled, doing nice.
Yeah.
Second theoretical, right at the halving, the most recent halving back in April 19th, if you would have purchased $1,000 worth, it would have netted you 0.01564 or 1.564 million Satoshis. And right now that is worth $1,617. So you've gained more than 60% on that now.
Yeah, that's not too bad either. I mean, that's a fairly decent little run. I mean, it's been kind of interesting tracking these prices, you know, as kind of time has gone on. And I really like that purchase, that theoretical purchase from back in October of 23, that $3,000. Like that was excellent timing on your part, sir.
Yeah. Well, I just said at the time, it's like, I bet if you put $3,000 down, you're going to be thanking yourself later. And, My words were correct. Whether or not I followed that advice, well, we'll just not say anything on that.
We won't disclose such things. Well, and I mean, the other thing about that too is that even if you've been nervous about crypto and you never wanted to get into Bitcoin, and I shouldn't have said crypto, if you didn't want to get into Bitcoin, you could pull, like, if you had that 9,000, you could pull your 3,000 out now and just let that 6,000 ride, right?
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, if you're already up that much, you might as well just keep going while it's going. I mean, we're at the most exciting part of the bull market at this point. Will pullbacks happen? Definitely. But there's a lot more gains to happen at this point. Next thing we're going to look at here is the Bitcoin ETF flows. It's been kind of a mixed bag. Obviously, we had the holiday here in the States on the 20th. So no movements there. Looks like BlackRock has put in almost $1 billion between Tuesday and Wednesday. We still don't know what they've done today. We don't have that information. So that was a fairly solid day. It looks like, I mean, there's still some nice inflows coming in. And even going into last weekend, BlackRock has been buying quite a bit. So,
yeah, it looks like they've had about, you know, at least, what, 6 days? I mean, we don't know today's, but it's looking favorable. It's 6 days of net inflows. So,
yeah, that Friday, when you look at Friday's numbers, that's $1 billion that went in. And even Grayscale has kind of, I won't say they stopped bleeding, but they're clotting, maybe. They still got some wounds. I don't know. I don't know how you want to put it. Like, it seems like it's slowing down.
It's weird. Well, they have had some outflows, but they've had a few days of inflows.
Yeah.
So it does look a little bit splotchy on this chart here.
Yeah, somebody needs to change the bandage because there's still some stuff seeping through. But it's getting a little bit better. Put some tough actin to nectin on there. I don't know. I don't know what you want to call it. But yeah, and then what was one of the big things? Like, day one, Trump had promised something, and you brought it up that you thought we should bring up. And I do agree with you. It was something big to the libertarian and the crypto movement.
Well, he just made a promise at the Libertarian Convention. And that's actually where he made a lot. Well, he made some promises at the Bitcoin conference that happened. But before that, he promised that he was going to do free Ross Ulbricht, and he was going to eliminate central bank digital currencies. And, you know, he made a big plea to the libertarians. And I think the libertarians, for the most part, did actually back Trump. And so he gave Ross Ulbricht, he said he was going to commute a sentence. He actually gave him a full pardon.
Yeah.
And Ross, in case you don't know, he was the founder of the Silk Road, which is one of the first places that Bitcoin was used. And it was used usually in the sale of illicit substances and weapons. And the government basically seized his wallet, which would be worth billions of dollars now.
Yeah. And I don't think that Trump's going to give back the Bitcoin to him.
No, I think that ship sailed.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, to be fair, like, so there's a few things about that. Like, did what Ross Ulbricht did, I get his reasoning behind it. Like, he felt like you should be able to, in a way, like, be able to exercise free speech with whatever you want to purchase, you can purchase. And there was drugs on there. I think there was hitmen, there was weapons. From what I understand, there was only 6 deaths that were recorded, and they've linked it back to the Silk Road some way, somehow, due to overdose from drugs. So,
yeah.
But the thing is, though, is that they really tried to make an example out of him. They gave him double life sentences plus 40 years on top of that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's right.
Yeah. I mean, he was a young guy at the time. And I don't know. He already spent 10 years in jail. And it was just kind of fascinating. And that was one of his early promises. And a lot of people were complaining that he didn't do it the first day. But he did come through on it. And I was like, well, that gives us more hope for the Bitcoin stuff.
Yeah. And that I think that was the crazy thing. Is like, everybody was just like, that first day. I mean, given like his first day was really kind of more of a half day, right?
Right.
You know, he had his inauguration. He had an inaugural ball. I think he had signed something like 47 executive orders that first day. And then it just seemed to happen. It was the second day when Ross got freed.
Right.
So.
Well, he was pardoning a lot of people.
Yeah. 1,500 of the January Sixers, right?
The January Sixers. I wonder if DB got any benefit from that.
No, it's a good question. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't want to find out. Yeah. So. We're not really going to refer to him very much, but We were not a big fan of his.
Yeah. But it was good. And then ever since then, I think part of the swings that we're seeing within the Bitcoin price have been, is he going to sign an executive order on a strategic Bitcoin reserve or not? And you brought up kind of an interesting point about that too. Like, what's one of the things that's his limitation there? Like, he cannot just say the United States is going to buy a bunch of Bitcoin, right?
Yeah. I mean, how the federal government in the United States is set up is, you know, there's the executive branch and the legislative branch, and the legislative branch is, you know, the Congress and Senate. They have the ability, or they have the responsibility of the purse strings. Trump is going to commit so much money to things, I mean, where is he going to get it from? It has to be authorized by Congress. So what he can do is not sell our Bitcoin the United States Bitcoin that looked like Biden was trying to do before he got out.
Yeah. I haven't heard what happened with that. I don't think it's sold, but.
No, it probably would have made a big splash if it would have sold. It probably would have tanked the price of Bitcoin pretty hard too.
Yeah. Yeah. But then today we did get the executive order, right?
Right.
Before we kind of go into the executive order, what was your kind of take on that? Like, are you excited? Are you upset? Are you sad?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, it's a little bit like, hey, it leaves a little bit of wiggle room where it's not going to be just Bitcoin. It could be a lot of other things potentially, which I'm not as in favor of.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a step in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. I saw a lot of polls on X. You know, the Bitcoin maximalists were freaking out, like, this is not what he promised, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I they're asking, are you for this, yes or no? And it's like, well, I'm kind of like a maybe. I'm like a 50-50. Like, I'm glad that we actually saw this. I'm celebrating that part of it. Because this is the first time you've seen a president of a major Western country sign something into law about crypto. You know, and it's the complete opposite of what Biden, his cronies were doing. So right. I did want to go through some of the highlights on the executive order. So we're going to kind of dive into a little bit of that now, and we'll kind of go through these step by step. And then we can kind of talk about them, kind of give comments and opinions. I apologize in advance because this may be a little bit of a longer episode. There's a lot of stuff that went down today. A lot of it was very positive for the crypto space. So, and Bitcoin space in general. I keep on saying crypto, but that's because I'm looking at the crypto on the executive order. Anyways.
Yeah.
So the purpose and policies, the order supports the responsible growth and use of digital assets and blockchain technology across all sectors of the economy. Key policies include protecting the ability of individuals and private sector entities to access and use open public blockchain networks for lawful purposes, promoting the sovereignty of the U.S. dollar, which we knew he was going to do, ensuring fair access to banking services, providing regulatory clarity, and protecting Americans from the risks of central bank digital currencies, which you had mentioned all those things when he was talking about the libertarian speech, right?
Right.
One of the other things that it does is it gives the right to self-custody. The order explicitly protects and promotes the ability of individuals to maintain self-custody of digital assets. This means individuals have the right to hold and manage their digital assets without relying on third-party custodians.
Which is very important.
Yeah, that was a big win because there was a lot of controversy about that previously. They're like, well, I think Warren is one of the worst on it. She didn't want people having their own, basically their own hardware wallets, being able to self-custody their own coins. The definitions, the order defines key terms such as digital asset, blockchain, and central bank digital currencies. It also does the revocation of previous orders. And I think a lot of this ties into the Operation Choke Point 2.0. The order revokes Executive Order 14067 and the Department of the Treasury's framework for international engagement on digital assets, directing the Secretary of the Treasury to rescind any inconsistent policies. It establishes, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
That's those are good little steps right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of rollback on that whole, the way that Biden was kind of treating everything. Establishment of the president's working group on digital assets and markets. A new working group is established within the National Economic Council to propose a federal regulatory framework for digital assets and evaluate the creation of a national digital asset stockpile, which would be the strategic reserve, right?
Right.
As I wish that was, that's the only one where I'm like, I wish it was a little bit more clearly defined. Like if it would have been like a national digital Bitcoin stockpile as well as other digital assets. That's the only thing where I would have been like much happier. Further, it goes on to prohibit central bank digital currencies. The order prohibits agencies from establishing, issuing, or promoting CBDCs within the United States. And I think it said anybody that was working on anything for a central bank digital currency was immediately to stop all development.
Interesting.
That's basically, I mean, that's the big takeaways from it. So, I mean, there was nothing in there that was necessarily, I mean, there's a lot in there that was pretty big. But I think the rollback of Biden's policies on his hatred for digital assets, I think was kind of good that we kind of see that kind of rolling back.
Right. And one thing, you know, we kind of touched on it, that one episode that I listened to with the bank that was just even holding keys for people's crypto, and they were caught up in that Operation Choke Point 2.0, but she was saying that Elizabeth Warren was actually running the financial system in Washington as part of the deal that she cut with Biden for her to endorse him so he could win the Democratic nomination. And it seems to be, that seems to ring true with just how left-wing and kind of oppressive the government was towards crypto, because it basically did reflect her attitude towards crypto, which was very toxic and a whole lot of disdain for crypto and Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the other big hurdles that we were kind of like, we talked about it before, I believe on the podcast, and now that kind of actually got rolled back as well, rolled back today, actually, from the SEC. It was the Staff Accounting Bulletin number 121, which imposed stringent requirements on crypto companies to account for safeguarding crypto assets as liabilities, which was basically banks were not allowed to hold crypto on their balance sheet as anything other than a liability. So they didn't want to touch it. They had to back it somehow.
Yeah. And yeah, if you are all of a sudden looking at an asset like a liability, you're basically penalizing anybody for holding it,
mm-hmm.
any institution from holding it.
Right. And so now the immediate rescindence of that removes the specific directive from SAB 121. Companies are now expected to determine any liabilities related to safeguarding risks under broader accounting standards like the FASB, ASC, subtopic 45020, or IAS 37. And Michael Saylor was a big push on the FASB accounting practice. We talked about that, I think, it's probably been almost a year.
Wow.
We talked about that where Michael Saylor was talking about that. The implementation is actually retroactive. Entities should implement this change retroactively for annual periods starting after December 15th, 2024. Companies can also adopt the rescission earlier for interim or annual filing submitted after the announcement of SAB 122.
Oh, that just sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's a huge one for the banking industry. Not that I'm crazy about the banking industry, but part of me, like the greed kicks in, and I, you know, it's unfortunate. I like number go up technology, but I really want to see this thing kind of win, and I think that's part of the way to do that is that if banks all of a sudden, if they can start buying it and holding it, and they can make it a reserve asset, and then countries make it a reserve asset. Like, I don't know. I get pretty excited.
No, that opens up a whole new ball game. I mean, BlackRock and, you know, what the the different ETFs, you know, the kind of money that they can bring in and put towards Bitcoin, I think it would be dwarfed by the bankers.
Yeah.
So that could be a next level thing. And then let alone federal governments and other governments, you know, getting involved. It makes things pretty interesting.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Well, it doesn't make it interesting. It makes it kind of wets our tongue a little bit. I don't know. It's sometimes, like you said, it makes you greedier. And it's, you know, I'm having a difficult time holding myself back on that, too. It's like, you know, you can't get too greedy with this. I mean, it's a process.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think it's going to flip the switch overnight. And one of the things that kind of gives me hope, even though that executive order kind of, even though it was crypto, one thing that I do like is that Cynthia Lummis got appointed as chair of the newly established Senate Banking Subcommittee on Digital Assets. And I know she understands Bitcoin. We've talked about her at length a few times on this podcast.
Yes.
She's the one that actually, she's trying to introduce like strategic Bitcoin bills within the Senate currently. So I think having her as that head is a good thing. I know you had talked about how people were worried that XRP. So here's the crazy thing, right? Like XRP, right? They've got money. They are an organized corporate coin made by Ripple, and they do have lobbyists. So that is a scary thing right there.
Well, and the other thing that's kind of interesting is they actually won. They were sued by the SEC, and they ended up winning against the SEC. So they have a little bit more regulatory clarity on their place in the world that versus other cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
Which they won in the court system, which is, I mean, I guess it was more difficult for them, but they came out on top. So, you know, they are positioned to enjoy some of those spoils of victory.
No, absolutely. And I mean, and they paved the way, and we had talked, I know we talked about them as well on the podcast where their win, like we needed them to win. Even though I may not, and don't get me wrong, I liked XRP and I was an investor for a long time. But I don't, XRP is not Bitcoin. Nothing is Bitcoin other than Bitcoin. So
no,
that's where I'm like, eh.
Yep. And I am concerned a little bit that maybe the XRP is going to be the route instead of Bitcoin. Yeah. I want something totally decentralized.
I do too. And I want something that, because XRP can easily become a CBDC. It's a Trojan horse for a CBDC, which would be my concern.
Same here. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, they may ban a CBDC, but if they institute it through XRP, where that becomes the main channel, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's really undoing all of the Higgs executive order himself.
Yeah. And that's my concern with the whole thing with XRP. Like, Solana, I'm still not the craziest fan of. I know, you know, there's some rumors that they're saying it's going to be Solana. The funny thing is there's no mention of Ethereum being that coin that's going to come through. But Solana, we've talked about that before on the podcast as well. Any blockchain that you can turn off and then restart, that disturbs me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tells me it's more centralized than what it should be. So... Yeah, we'll have to kind of see how that plays out. But then kind of the last thing was that Trump spoke at Davos to the World Economic Forum, because that's going on right now. And I know we've talked about this before as well on the podcast. I think it was when they were doing Davos last year, we talked about how all the hookers for the time that Davos was going on were all booked up for the whole conference. Do you remember that?
In the whole week.
Yeah. So anyways, I think the big takeaway to that was that any concerns or anything like with a new world order or anything like that, Trump kind of gave him the middle finger to the whole thing. He did put down basically that the United States was going to lead in AI and in crypto, that they were going to be the world superpower in it, energy and infrastructure, deregulation and tax cuts, border security, free speech, law enforcement, DI initiatives, and then... international relations again. Trump went back and said that, you know, the NATO countries need to pay at least 5% of their GDP to NATO costs again. So it's funny because I remember I read Klaus Schwab's book, and that was one of his big things, was he was just all about this future. And that's where the whole thing, you will own nothing and you will enjoy it or whatever, came from that guy. And like, so just seeing that kind of was a good thing.
Yeah.
Made me happy. I don't know. There was a lot. There was a lot that we went through today. I know it'll take a while to unpack, and we'll have to kind of see how this kind of moves forward. I'm kind of curious. What do you think the market will do tomorrow? Do you think Bitcoin will go up on this news, or do you think it'll go down?
It's almost, I think it's more sideways than anything, or potentially negative. I mean, some people were pricing in a strategic reserve in already, and we're not quite getting that. So,
yeah,
maybe sideways or down. Who knows?
I want to see. I'm just kind of looking at this here. Like, what does this look like? Like, where are we at if this is a descending triangle? Sorry, I'm looking at this chart here. Not exciting for everybody else listening, but I don't know. I would say it looks like we have probably until like the probably be going into, although it usually doesn't get all the way to the end of the wedge. Whenever something like this happens with Bitcoin's price, we should have a break probably by Monday. We'll know what direction it's going to go.
You know, we haven't really had the crazy pullbacks so far in Bitcoin.
No, we haven't. I mean, we've had, they've been fairly small. I think the biggest one we saw was like 20%, maybe 25%.
Versus like a 35%, just like, bam.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like that's also been because we haven't been as aggressive on some of the movements up either, I think. Like they moved up aggressively, but they haven't continued to just move up. We trade sideways for a long time within the range. But I mean, who knows? We could get that kind of a crazy pullback. We could get down to, you know, sub 90s again. But it seemed like they had a really hard time getting it, trying to get it below 90 before.
Yeah, it was just getting soaked up immediately at that point.
But now that this kind of news is out, like, you know, and I think we talked about that last episode, was it a buy the rumor, sell the news kind of event? We'll have to see now. And it depends on what other countries do.
Right. And all it takes is another big country getting involved, and then everyone's off to the races. And, you know, that might be also partly Trump's idea is to not show his hand too much. Because if you show your hand too early before you can get the money to buy the Bitcoin, you're going to set things off pretty crazy.
Yeah, no.
And other countries are going to jump in too. So
yeah, I think MicroStrategy bought another $11 billion worth of Bitcoin on Tuesday or something like that. It's like, Jesus, that guy.
I'm telling you, Saylor probably knows something. He knows something.
It seems like it. He was at that ball that Trump announced his coin at, and he seemed pretty happy. He was posting some pretty positive stuff. He wasn't excited about the way that he was quoted as saying that if you say Bitcoin and crypto are interchangeable, you neither understand Bitcoin or crypto.
I can agree to that.
I do too. So that was kind of a little jab to Trump, I'm sure, but Trump don't care. Trump never has cared. Yeah.
That's the superpower.
That is the superpower. All right. Man, was there anything else you wanted to bring up today?
I think that's it for now.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. And again, if you have decided you're going to go into that self-sovereign holding on to your own Bitcoin, now that there's an executive order saying that you can do such, just kind of guaranteeing your rights to that, you can always get your hardware wallet through us on our deals page at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/deals. And there you can get your Ledger Pal or Ledger. through our affiliate links. You're buying directly from the manufacturers. It just helps support the channel if you go that route. And we also have the newsletter you can sign up for. Get yourself self-custody checklist. So,
indeed.
Thank you all for listening.
Bye.